Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 649, MCC Patch Thursday, recorded live on September 20th, 2018. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are back, but I am a little under the weather this week, so bear with the scratchy voice and potential coughs or blowing of noses throughout the stream. Going to try to keep it to a minimum. Got a cup of water here to hopefully keep me a little sedated on the coughing side of things, but apologies if that happens to be the case throughout the stream. Other than that, though, we have some other cool things to talk about. Got quite a bit of news from the Halo Waypoint front and a couple of other really cool merch-related items that have been that are being auctioned off or are new to Amazon or newly listed and all that kind of fun stuff. Plus a really, really cool community spotlight. I think this is probably one of the best ones, best collection of community things I've seen thus far. I think it's going to be hard to top this one.
Yeah, well, I've got something to say when we get to that point.
About the real life hog?
Something in the community update's really odd because 3 days ago I happened to like that.
Okay. I guess we'll
get to it. I'll tell you.
I think I know what you're talking about. As we normally do, let's do a quick recap of our community events and streams over the past week. So, GT, why don't you go ahead and give us a recap of Fraggin' Friday?
Well, let's see. Sorry, that was a week ago. I got to think for a minute. we just had a really, really good time. We stayed mostly in Fiesta this week. We had kind of a smaller group, but we still had a lot of fun. Played it, you know, we played a couple of big team matches and a couple of Warzone matches, but we mainly stuck in Fiesta and had a lot of fun in the Roaming Hill. That is an interesting game type.
Interesting is a good word for it because it employs some different strategy and different thinking to it.
Uh-huh. It definitely does that. It was a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. It was a lot of fun to play. Yeah, I appreciate the thought that was put into that because they did a really good job with it. The movement of the hill. You really do have to keep your head on a swivel if playing that game type, because the way they've set the maps up, players come from pretty much anywhere. About the only complaint that I've had, and that was a reoccurring theme through the night, was it always seemed like one team would spawn closer to the hill than the other, you know, when killed. And that's probably nothing they can, if I die and somebody else on the other team dies, there was more often than not, it seemed like the other team would spawn closer to the hill than where I would spawn on the other side of the map. Now, that could just be a Halo 5 thing. Spawning, safe zones, things like that. So I can't really blame the map maker for that one.
I don't think the Halo 5 spawning system was ever designed to account for a roaming objective that wasn't something like Crazy King, where you have one set spawn point and then a separate spawn point, but they're all kind of static. And I mean, you have Capture the Flag too, but the safe zones are kind of static for the path that the flag runs. So
well,
having
part of what Halo 5 does is determine if it's safe to spawn you. You know, one of its criteria is, you know, not to spawn you in front of an enemy, which it does, but not that often.
Yeah, I've had several times where I spawn and probably within 2/10 of a second, I'm dead because I spawned in someone's scope.
You spawn standing next to somebody with a shotgun or a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens to everybody. Not near as frequently as it used to, but it still happens. And, you know, it's whenever you spawn, it's Russian roulette anyway. There's so many things that the system tries to take into account in that 5 seconds that you're dead that it didn't always get it right. And of course, players are always in motion on in the game. So, you know, those variables change constantly. So, you know, a lot of times it just makes its best guess and shoves you back in. But other than that, that's the only real thing we had a problem with.
I think for me, there's one map, and I don't remember what it's called, but it's the one where you have the three different levels that the hill can traverse, and it has the wasp on it.
You know, honestly, I didn't get that map.
Oh, I got it a few times.
I never played that map.
That map, I think, was the only map I lost on. I think every other map that I played on, and I think I played upwards of 10, 12 games on Roaming King on Friday, kind of on the tail end of the game night. And I think that was the only map that we lost on. Everything else, it's as long as you're thinking of, okay, where is the enemy coming from? And you have it is almost a little too advantageous because there's kind of pinch points depending on where the hill is to where the enemy is coming. And you can, they're just kind of like funneling down and you can just mow them down. I think it's a great start. Yeah, that's, I think, also there's some tweaking that needs to happen though.
That's also something that you need to watch as a team as well. You know, you need to stay out of those pinch points or limit the number of people in those pinch points, so that your whole team isn't wiped out by, you know, a lucky rocket or, you know, one guy with a shotgun or, you know, the rockets off a wasp.
Yeah. Or a splazer or a ghost or, yeah, those other kinds of fun things. I think it's a great fresh thing to have in the rotation though.
I like the difference. I like seeing the different stuff, you know, not just a different version of Slayer, you know, something that's just really off the wall, something that's different.
Yeah, and it's community made, which is really, really cool. I'm curious to see if there's any other things kind of community related that this is going on, because I know from the article last week, this has been in the works for, what, a year and a half?
Something like that, yeah. I can imagine that setting up one of these maps to do this Roaming King thing is not something that you can do in 20 minutes. Because you have to script that hill to move along the path at the right speed, you know, for the entire map. And, you know, that's a pretty big path on some of those maps.
It is. I think it's one of those things that the game mode creators kind of account for, so they can kind of figure that out. But for those that, I mean, and I'm thinking kind of more of any other kind of game modes that are out there. And Roaming King is kind of a cool take on something that's in Halo and something that you can do differently. But I'm just kind of wondering what else is out there that has been made or was kind of approached to be made by some of the other forgers and we could be seeing down the road. Because I can't imagine this is the only community mode other than like Griffball or something else that's an action sack that could be made into its own social rotational playlist.
I mean, there's a lot of good game types out there, so I'll be interested to see what they start looking at to bring into those rotational playlists.
It'd be cool to kind of get a preview of some of those too.
Yeah. You never know, we might come across the next Griffball.
Yeah. I hope it's something that if they're looking at some kind of game mode or maybe have a poll in maybe a community like Forge Hub or something else where there's a community member that's really shown in making a separate game mode, if they could kind of integrate that into, because it's pretty significant to have your own game mode that's outside of Action Sack.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing I like about the Action Sack playlist is it's a good test bed to see, you know, kind of get a general idea of what things work, what things don't.
Certainly. Anyways, I like it. I'll probably play more of it before it leaves. Since we're talking about playlists, the next one is Halo 3 Classic Throwback. So Griffball has left. Roaming King is now on its second week, and Halo 3 Classic Throwback has made it into the social arena for now.
You know, that's about the only way I like playing Halo 3 maps. It's in Halo 5.
In Halo 5, yeah.
Because I can actually hit people with that BR.
Well, you may be happy with some upcoming changes that could be coming to MCC in an article that we'll be talking about in a little bit.
Fingers crossed.
I think what they're aiming for will make a lot of people happy. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Some other streams that happened. On Sunday, I started going for par scores, and I got 2 par scores done in Halo CE. Halo CE? Yeah. So that was, I believe, Halo and Truth and Reconciliation. And I have 5 more on Halo CE to get. Funny thing, I found that the achievements on the mobile app are actually in the list, or in the list order of the achievements, whereas on the computer app, they are listed by the percentage of unlock that you have on the achievement. So going through the mobile app is actually easier for me to find out which ones are in a certain group that I don't have yet. So all the Halo CE timing and scoring ones are all together. Same for all the rest of the games. And then,
you mean on the Xbox app?
No, on the phone app. Well, on the phone Xbox app, yes.
Okay.
It's the Xbox app on like Android and iOS, not the Xbox app on Windows 10. So if you're trying to go for achievements and want to kind of attack all the achievements in the groups that you're probably looking for, try the mobile app instead of the PC app. I don't know what it's like on the Xbox app, the Xbox console app, because I haven't looked, but it is a lot easier, at least on mobile. And I gotta go load up MCC in order to check, which I'll go ahead and do now. But anyways, I got 2 achievements done. I will be looking for more par scores. I think I have 22 par score achievements left I have to get.
Yeah, the actual Xbox app for the desktop, it does it in degrees.
Yeah. I mean,
you can sort by locked, unlocked, most rare, least rare, but yeah, with the percentages, it's
not very friendly.
I've got a couple of them that are, you know, 96, 98, 99%.
Right.
How can you be 99% to that? I mean, you either beat it or you don't.
Right. It looks like the console app is also in percent order.
Yeah.
Some of them, they probably just misconfigured the achievement. So they haven't really, like for some of the stuff where it's getting the par score, they're taking the percentage of the score that you need instead of saying, oh, you either got it or you didn't get it. Maybe because there's a number associated with it instead of saying you did or did not do this, I guess.
Well, I mean, you know, as far as you like on score or part-time, I mean, you could look at it as, you know, percentages. You got this close to actually getting it. But yeah, on that one, I prefer I either got it or I don't.
I'm actually close to getting Worm Slayer, which I'll get just doing the scoring run, so that will be an unlock soon.
Yeah, even on the website, it's the same way.
So yeah, apparently the mobile app is the best way to do it.
Yeah.
I wish there was a sort mechanism.
Well, yeah, I think you can sort by locked or unlocked. That's about it.
Well, that's just a filter. That's not necessarily a sort. But I've got 55 achievements more to go. Surprisingly, 22 of them are scoring. So essentially, a fifth of my, two fifths of my achievements are going to be done through par scoring of what I have left. And then there's the 3 Lazo ones. Or 5 Lazo ones. Those will probably be the last ones I attempt to get. We'll see. So that was my stream on Sunday. And then on Tuesday, we did finish Keys. The wife's reaction to punching Keys' skull out to get the chip was kind of about as what I expected. It was a little bit of a delayed reaction because she didn't quite fully get what happened until I kind of pointed it out. But after she realized it, it's like, oh, that just happened.
Ew!
Yeah. So this coming Tuesday, we will play on the Maw, and we will finish the Halo CE campaign. So nice. I am so proud of her. Happy husband. Yeah, Pins was there, and he said she wiggled a little bit, or wigged out a bit. So it was definitely a little squirmy, no pun intended, of a moment. But she's slowly getting better and kind of learning the spatial awareness and kind of figuring out where she's been, where she hasn't been. So she's still picking it up, but she's doing pretty well. So if you guys are interested in watching that, that will be Tuesdays around 7 to 7:30 is when we start. And then I'm going to just go ahead and do the soul spiel. Fragging Fridays is on Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, hosted by GT. And then I have my achievement stream on Sunday evening, starting around 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And I go for about an hour and a half, depending on what achievements I'm going for. So that's all the streams for this week. All the community stuff we have to go through. So let's go ahead and jump into some Halo Waypoint news.
Woohoo! News!
Yay! HCS London was this past weekend. It was the first official and largest open Halo esports tournament on international soil, which is a pretty big and notable, I don't know if achievement is the right word, but it was kind of a big deal, being that it was the first time that there was an international presence that was officially endorsed by 343, or by, I guess, the Halo developer, and it was an open tournament. So it was pretty significant. The two teams that were up to be winning it, obviously, were Tox and Splice. And the reigning champions were defeated, and Tox took home the championship trophy. So Tox is now the newest number one team for competitive Halo 5, dethroning Splice in a 2 best-of-7 series in the grand finals. Splice was actually knocked down to the loser's bracket by Reciprocity, and they fought their way through back to playing against Tox. Splice 4-0 Tox in the first best-of-7, and then Tox fought back tooth and nail and 4-0'd Splice for the final best-of-7 series.
I got to watch the last game of the first series, and I think I watched the first two games of the second series, and they definitely weren't holding back.
No. Tox was putting it out after they got 4-0'd after the first series. Tox came out swinging.
Mm-hmm. They definitely didn't want to go through that again.
Yeah. So congrats to Tox for making championship and number one team again in the Halo scene. It is going to be probably a fight back and forth, but we did see Reciprocity and Renegades actually show some bite this weekend. Reciprocity was the team that actually knocked Splice into the loser's bracket. So that's not anything to balk at, for sure.
No, you know, when you beat one of the reigning champs to put them in the loser bracket, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So congratulations to Tox, and I'm sure Splice will be coming out swinging for the next time we see them in at DreamHack Atlanta. To take your third spot was Reciprocity. Renegades took fourth. Elevate and Accelerate took fifth and sixth. And Berserker and Trifecta took seventh and eighth. And I believe Trifecta is an international team. I'm not totally up to date on the teams and everything. No, they're US. Maybe it's Accelerate. That's the international team. If someone in the chat knows, let me know. But those are your rankings for the 4v4. The FFA winner was Shabby Dagger and got to take home a $2,000 prize.
Nice.
Yeah. So congratulations to all the teams, and congratulations to Shabby Dagger for the FFA win. We'll see you all in DreamHack Atlanta. We'll see you on stream, but for the rest of the folks that are going to be there and in Atlanta come mid-November. That's going to be a interesting series to watch. It's going to be interesting to see how Reciprocity and Renegades try to keep the fire going and try to take over one of those top two spots. And I'm sure Splice is going to be fueled to try to take back their number one, and Tox is going to do everything they can to hold their number one spot. So it's going to be a very tough uphill battle come Atlanta. No doubt about that.
Definitely.
So that's HCS London. Up next is our MCC September update. So for those that are curious to know what the size of the latest download is, it is 8.5 gigabytes. So get those consoles updated over the night or over the weekend, as this one is a little bit of a doozy. Not as bad as the first big update, which was 76 gigs. But 8.5 gigs is still nothing to balk at. That's a full two-layer DVD.
Yeah, that's Halo 2.
Was Halo 2 dual-layer?
I think by the time all the map packs were...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think if you took...
For sure.
Halo 2 and then all the map packs, I think it was around 7 gigs. I think.
That doesn't surprise me. That didn't surprise me that much. So, playing accordingly... Maybe
that was Halo 3. Oh.
No, Halo 3 would have been bigger.
Now I'm curious.
The 360 disc had that gig of extra space that they couldn't use. So I know the 360 discs were dual layer. I'm not sure about the original Xbox titles, though. Anyways, not super important, but...
Well, they ran off the DVD, so they were only single layer, I'm sure.
Possibly.
You know, on the original Xbox, you couldn't install the game. You had to put the disc in, and it ran off the game or off the disc, so...
But you could still have dual layer... You can still read off dual layer.
I didn't think the original Xbox could do that.
Maybe not. I mean, it depends on the specific DVD reader.
Yeah.
If they have the laser to do the one layer and then the second layer. In the update, we have numerous fixes across MCC. A lot of bug fixes specifically to Halo CE. And it's important to note and Postums, and I think Sketch and a couple others did tweet out that once the update dropped, all mid-mission saves for Halo CE would be lost. So if you're going through Halo CE for some reason and you apply this update, then any mid-mission save that you have for Halo CE is going to be removed. You'll still have all the mission unlocks available, but any mid-game saves, you'll have to restart that mission over again.
Answer your question about Halo 3, it's 10.4 gigs.
So that wouldn't even fit on one DVD.
That's Halo 3 and all the map packs. The two extra, let's see, the Mythic packs were 323 megabytes and 337 megabytes.
Yeah, they were pretty big.
Actually, the Legendary pack was bigger than the Mythics individually.
Right, but like the Mythics together were the biggest ones.
Yeah.
Legendary was which maps? Was that the one with... No, because that one had a skull.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Was Rat Race one of them in Legendary?
No, Rat Race was one of the originals. That shipped with the game, if I remember correct.
I thought that was DLC. Maybe Heroic. Nightpins and Confell's over there on Twitch with the more bits. Hey, thanks Confell for the bits.
More bits, more bits.
More bits. Morbid, more bits. So, just the note on the Halo CE stuff. So if you're updating, that's going to happen. And there are enough patch notes in here. I thought, even though it's going to take us a little bit, it might be worth going through the patch notes. So GT, I could either take the whole patch notes section, and then you can do the playlist changes section, or we can alternate as we go down. Which one would you prefer?
Where do you want to start?
Start just with the patch notes under global.
Okay, well, you take global, I guess I'll take CE.
All right. So under global, Updated matchmaking logic to help players in less populated regions find matches, and we'll get to that a little bit in more detail down below. Current highest rank on the player detail page no longer fails to load. Fix an issue with server lists not refreshing properly when switching between LAN and Xbox Live. Idle players will no longer requeue in the matchmaking, which is good, because I've actually run into that issue.
Yeah.
General stability improvements in various network scenarios. Improved chat behavior in lobbies between matchmaking games. I've actually noticed that, which is nice. Fixed rival data population issue on playlist leaderboards. Yeah, that was another thing I noticed when going through the achievements, is that none of that data was there, even for just the campaign ones. General leaderboard improvements. Fixed several issues that prevented hosts from earning various achievements when clients were correctly given progress. Fixed an issue where players who disconnected were awarded wins during matchmaking games. Quit ban code has been added and will be monitored to determine how they are enabled soon.
Ooh, the ban hammer.
Well, I almost envisioned that like the error codes that you get from like Destiny, for example.
Yeah. They have such good... I have to admit, Bungie did have some humor when it came to the error codes.
They did. I will give them props for that. At least they kept a little bit, little sense of humor there.
A little.
A little. Yeah.
You've been monkeyed. Oh. Anyway.
All right, Halo CE.
All right, for Halo CE, they, let's see, added the blind skull to allow screenshots to be taken without HUD elements for players seeking higher scores with campaign scoring.
And we'll get into a little more detail on that. Fixed an
issue with the rocket launcher rounds firing slightly off from reticle. Well, I hadn't played it, so I wouldn't know that one. Resolve gamer tag presence over a player with active cambo. Oh, I'm glad they fixed that.
That's pretty bad.
Nothing like having active camo and having a tag right above your head.
Oh, you're there. Wait, I don't see you. Oh, you're underneath the tag. Okay, bam, bam, bam. Done.
Yeah. That reminds me of shooting across Blood Gulch with the CE pistol at a name tag.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. At that point, playing on the CRT, it was active camo.
Yeah. Improvements to targeting player enemy name HUD location.
Yeah, it's just representing the or repositioning again, the gamer tag thing.
Battle Creek and shooting cross map at a gamer tag. Let's see. Improvements to networking code for shot registration. Improvements to AR registration resolving inability to shoot power up to shoot. Power ups and players. Never try to shoot a power up.
So in Halo CE, the power ups are our physics objects. So you could shoot them.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think I ever shot a power up.
Oh,
I'll have to try that. Huh. Mm-hmm. Improvements to shotgun hit registration at close range, as if it needed any help. Improvements to kill feed and respawn countdown timer. Adjust text for custom game kill penalty option header to now read no kill penalty. Penalty. That.
I guess that was just a typo.
apparently. All right. I still like you were killed by default. Oh.
That one's funny. Moving on, I'll take the next two. Halo 2. Improve stability during split screen after players unexpectedly lose network connectivity. Improved behavior in scenarios where Xbox One X and other Xbox models are playing live co-op together. Fixed issue where Cortana appeared partially rendered during Great Journey in classic graphics. Oh, geez.
Oh, darn. I wish I would have seen that. That would have made a hell of a screenshot.
I wonder what partially meant.
Which parts were missing?
Right, exactly. Halo 3 fixed an issue where a dedicated server would not be allocated to host a match-made game in certain networking scenarios. Fixed a crash, which could occur when accessing terminals with the text language set to French. Poor Tom French. Fixed golf club reticle. Golf ball now appears in its intended glistening white. Ooh, glistening.
Ooh.
Fixed insertion points for the arc on playlist Tanks, Tanks, Tanks. Insertion points.
Huh?
Like when the arc is supposed to be in the playlist, or like you start in a rally point? Halo 3.
I think tank, that's tanks. Probably when you start at that rally point.
I guess.
Is what they're talking about.
Tanks, Tanks. I don't even see the Tanks, Tanks, Tanks playlist in here. Or is it a cross game?
No. That's in campaign. When you come out of the spire and you get the tank.
Oh, Tanks, Tanks, Tanks is a cross game playlist. And I don't think there is a rally point in there. Or it's not. The playlist details don't say it. Maybe there is.
Oh, okay. I understand. Yeah, probably just the tank levels in each game.
Yeah.
But on the arc.
Because that's probably rally point Bravo or Charlie. Probably one of the two.
Never mind. I was thinking the wrong game. Never mind.
Campaigns, Halo 3.
No, mission. That's right. Because that's where you go face the two scarabs.
So the arc has three rally points.
Yeah. Well, this would be the...
So it's Bravo.
Yeah, the second one, Bravo.
Because the summary says, armor up. That's probably where you get the tank after an Amberclad lands. Or not, not Ember, and whatever the ship is.
Forward into Dawn.
Forward into Dawn. That's it.
All right. For Halo 4, fixed a crash which could occur in Spartan Ops. Fixed a rare issue with HUD elements duplicating, overlapping during lightning flag game types.
Oh.
Good. Improved textures, LOD, level of detail throughout Halo 4 campaign. That must have something to do with the UHD.
Probably.
Fixed ordering and movement speed options in custom games. General fixes to skull names and descriptions.
I don't know what S-pop is.
Yeah, I'm guessing menus. For ODST, fixed an issue where the player is not brought to the PGCR after the last mission in playlist.
Post-game current report.
Yeah.
For those that don't know.
Players who do not have ODST install are now brought to the game install screen when they join a party intending to play ODST together. Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's cool.
Fixed checkpoint issue when progressing to Data Hive on Street Smarts playlist. Everybody, you wait till you get bifocals. Fixed an issue preventing players from immediately accessing ODST after switching Xbox profiles.
I wonder. I guess that's the licensing thing. Probably getting mixed
probably.
Up. I'll take the next two. Halo 2 Anniversary Multiplayer. Fixed an issue that caused shadows to not render properly when playing in 4K. Fixed assault rifle ammo counter displaying incorrect number of rounds. Fixed inconsistent button mappings for Banshee tricks on universal bump and jump layout. Fixed issue with displaying infection medals and kill feed in games with more than 12 players. And then campaign in general. ODST and Halo 3 level completion stats are no longer lumped together on the playlist's main menu. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's because they had the separate submenu for Halo 3 where you could just do normal Halo 3 and ODST, and I guess they flattened that out. Fixed an issue where campaign progress could appear blank after launching the title. Improved some inaccuracies with playlist leaderboard entries. Duh. Actually, I need to check that to see if they actually did that. To see if that actually shows up. Improved accuracy of icons and campaign scoring post-game carnage report. And my top 5 friend scores listing is still not populated, so I don't know why that's still broken. And pause menu UI no longer disappears when viewing skull and difficulty details.
That's nice.
Yeah. That's kind of a big deal. You want to take the next four there?
I'll take care of them. Matchmaking general, improved profile switching behavior in the matchmaking find game flow. Custom games general, reverting game type settings now individually reverts to previous save version. Move up so I can read it. Configuration rather than to default template. Well, that's good. Forge and Films, players who have not purchased ODST now are redirected appropriately when attempting to access ODST films.
Wait. Does that mean campaign films work now?
I'm guessing.
Because ODST is only campaign.
Exactly.
What? Well,
Halo 3's film theater mode worked, didn't it?
In the Master Chief Collection? It did? I thought...
I'm asking. I don't use it, so I'm asking.
I thought films only worked for matchmaking and Forge, or multiplayer and Forge. I didn't think it worked for campaign.
Players can now save screenshots when the Xbox is not connected to Xbox Live. Now, if they can just do that for Halo 5. Last one is settings. Set for all games, no longer an option, or set for all games option no longer appears available when selecting non-universal control schemes. Impulse triggers are now re-enabled after selecting restore default settings. Subtitle options now appear under audio submenu for convenience. And fixed an issue where roster session leader is able to access network settings after all members talking is hard have left the squad. Quite the list.
Yeah. And that's just the patch notes. There's still playlist changes that we got to cover. And then the other stuff I summarized, so. On the playlist side of things, we have updates across just about every single game. On the Halo CE team doubles, I'll take the two Halo CE ones first. Kill penalty and settings has been turned off. For Halo CE team arena, added new Slayer variant that is up to 100 kills to replace all 50 kill Slayer variants. Huh?
What?
Why'd they double the kills?
That must be for big team or something. Or,
no, it's Halo CE Team Arena, which is 4v4. Maybe games are ending too quickly?
I don't see how. Okay.
So, yeah, campaign clips work now. Because I just did a test on Halo 3 and it works.
Cool.
So I guess Halo 3 and Halo 4 and Halo 3 ODST campaign clips now work. I thought they didn't work before. But there is a bug. Ooh, I should report this. The roster shows up when you go to the theater. I should report that as a bug. Okay. Still on the Halo CE Team Arena playlist, kill penalty in settings has been turned off. Adding updated oddball variant on chillout, derelict, wizard, and prisoner. Adding reverse tag variant on damnation. I haven't played reverse tag yet.
I can't say that I have either.
Although I haven't hit up the Halo CE Team Arena playlist yet, so... That could be another thing. Adding updated CTF variant for Wizard, Derelict, Blood Gulch, and Battle Creek. I don't know why they couldn't just update all of those into one bullet like they did for Oddball. Anyways.
Somebody liked to type.
But they did it for CTF, but not for Oddball. Anyways.
Yeah, I know.
And they did it for King of the Hill, too. What? Adding King of the Hill variant for use with Battle Creek, Rat Race, Derelict, Damnation, Hang 'em High, Chill Out, and Wizard. Adding updated sniper variant for Hang 'em High set to 100 kills. Holy crap. I guess they want the games to go longer.
Apparently.
Added updated sniper variant for Boarding Ashen and Blood Gulch set to 50 kills. Okay. Well, Hang 'em High... Well, I guess Hang 'em High is open, but...
Yeah.
Still kind of a big map. Do I take the... I guess the Halo 2... And the social big team one, and I'll take the Halo 3 ones.
Halo 2 Classic Team Arena, updated for all sniper variants, Magnum secondary, starting grenades, and grenades on map removed. Halo 2 Classic Team Hardcore updated to correct settings for Midship, Warlock, and Sanctuary CTF game types. Let's see. Update to Sanctuary map to reflect having correct weapons on map. That's always good. Halo 3 Team Arena King of the Hill variants updated to have the hill move in order instead of random. Well, where's the fun in that? Updated for all sniper variants, Magnum secondary, starting grenades, and grenades on map removed. Slayer variant name appears in game as Team Slayer BR, now instead of Team Slayer BR in capitals. Okay.
Okay.
I'm glad that they made that change.
Yay for
Halo 3 proper. Team Hardcore. All game variants updated to correct respawn settings with betrayal and suicide penalties off. Slayer variants updated to reflect 1 point for suicide and betrayals. Or negative 1 point, sorry. You can take last two.
Okay. For Halo 3 Team Doubles, we have King of the Hill variants updated to have the hill move in order instead of random. I personally like, well, okay, Crazy King I like to have be random. I guess King of the Hill normal makes sense to have him in order, but still. Oddball and CTF variants updated to require two melees when carrying the flag or ball.
That just doesn't make sense to me.
I think because it's team doubles. Especially
in Halo 3.
Because it's team doubles, they don't want basically a one-man army to just take out the two others. So, I think
The price you pay for getting too close to the objective. You know, in Halo 3, you don't have a weapon. You have to drop the flag. You have to drop the flag to pull out your weapon. So, you're already at a disadvantage.
No, you can still melee with the ball and the flag.
How are you going to melee with the ball if they're across the map from you? If the person gets up close to you, you should be able to one-hit kill them. Sorry, it's just the way I think it should be.
Then there's feedback that you can provide in the feedback forums or in Twitter.
I have.
Well, keep it going.
They haven't listened. Well, they just haven't done what I want, but... Anyway, I still think flag melees and ball melees should be one hit kill because that is an incentive for you to not get close to the carrier, and it gives the carrier an advantage or at least levels the playing field a little bit, especially in team doubles because there's only two of you.
I'm wondering if they looked at stats for this and found if there is some issue where they saw a lot more ball kills than there should be.
Well, if you're getting killed by the ball that many times, you're playing it wrong. You know me, I don't get close to the ball carrier because it was a one-hit melee. I stay outside of melee range and shoot him or throw grenades at him or her.
I don't know. People in the chat, anyway. You want to chime up? Feel free. Oh, crap. I didn't realize a lot of people were chatting. The chat was not a scrolling and Mixer. Hey, Naruto and Keys and Halo Collector, Kevin.
Yeah, they've been going back and forth.
Yeah. Well, I was looking for chat stuff and I didn't even realize that the chat was going, but it wasn't auto scrolling down. Anyways, so I think Naruto agrees with you. More kills, more blood. Nice, Keys.
Yeah.
So that is the playlist changes. There's some Trello issues updates, which we have kind of covered already in some of the patch notes, but there's a little more detail that they go into. And for those that don't know, the Trello board is where 343 is publicly posting the bugs that they're working on and the status of them. So a couple of the big ticket items that they've used the Trello board for kind of sharing the content on is regional matchmaking issues. And there's a little bit of an in-depth post that they posted on the forums. I've tried to summarize it as best I could in the show notes that we have. But addressing the regional matchmaking issues for low population regions, they've loosen some of the latency restrictions and also have a little bit of a different strategy on how they calculate the kind of iterations they go through to find games that are further away via ping. So there's some new logic that they've implemented where they've added latency rules where to the closest server that you can connect to. So similar to how in Halo 3, when you start off with a wide range of 1 as far as rank searching, and then it goes to 3 on either side, and then 5 on either side, and then 10. So they're doing this for kind of latency in a way where if they can't find a game on the server that's closest to you, they'll look on servers that are within 60 milliseconds more for 35 seconds, and then 90 milliseconds more for 10 seconds, then 120 seconds milliseconds more for another 10 seconds, and then they'll just open it up to 150 milliseconds until it finds a game.
Wow, that's one heck of a latency.
Yeah. They said they've tried to make sure it stays under 100, but in some cases they're finding that some regions are still not matching, so they're allowing it to search for more, but they're still going to try to keep that restricted.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Another thing to note is not all Azure centers are actually hosting MCC servers. So right now, if you go and check your ping to an Azure data server or data center, it'll give you every region that Microsoft has a data center. What they're going to do in the next update is actually only show pings to data centers that have MCC deployed, which I didn't know that they didn't have MCC deployed everywhere. I'm not sure why. Well, I guess it kind of makes sense, but I'm still a little puzzled by that.
I'm thinking it's probably because they don't feel that the population of the game requires it.
Maybe. So, for example, the regions that they don't have MCC deployed is West US, East US, Central US, East Japan, and East Asia. That's weird that they don't have it deployed West US. There's not even a West US 2. There's an East US 2, which they have, but there's not even a West US 2, which, I mean, there's a lot of people on California and Oregon and Washington. I mean, heck, that's Microsoft's backyard. Why would they have one in West US? That's interesting. Anywho, so the next update is going to include just the servers that are deployed, not all Microsoft data centers. Next thing on the trailer issues that's been tracking is the idle players getting kicked out of searching, so they're not going to be like kicked out of the game, but the matchmaking will now just stop them searching if they're idle. There's a ranking exploit when you lost network connectivity. You continue to rank up in Halo 2 Anniversary, Halo 3, and Halo 4, which was fixed. Apparently, there was a bug in matchmaking where, in very rare cases, matchmaking would default back to peer-to-peer. So they found the code and they whacked it away. So hopefully no more peer-to-peer. Aim sensitivity and feel. You're going to love this one, GT.
The ongoing debate.
Yes. In the show notes, I listed it as the ongoing debate because I know for me, and if Haas is in here still, he can attest to this, but for me, Halo 3 feels worse in this build than it did in the previous build of MCC. And Halo 2 feels better. And I've seen other people say that Halo 3 feels great, but Halo 2 feels worse.
As far as a gameplay experience when it comes to sensitivity, I've noticed that since the update, all the games have gotten a lot more sensitive. I've had to go through and turn down my sensitivity for all the games.
And part of that could be just a hardware controller thing, because that's something they did mention, because while the netcode hasn't changed, the hardware has. So the controllers don't exactly behave the same as the 360 ones did. Especially with regards to dead zones.
MCC to MCC. I'm not talking from 360 to MCC.
Oh.
I'm talking in the MCC from when I played it before, because, you know, I had all my sensitivity set. After the update, I had to go through and turn all my sensitivities down because of a change in the way it interpreted the sensitivities.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think there's something to it, because I think a lot of that feel is not a network thing, because the aiming feel, like how you aim, still feels the same to me for the most part, but that shot registration definitely feels like it's changed.
The only shot registration I've noticed that has changed for me is in Halo 2. I swear I can't hit the broadside of a barn now. It almost feels like playing Halo 3 to me.
And then for me, Halo 2 is fine.
Yeah. But I play Halo 2A, and it works perfectly.
There's got to be a Ghost in the Machine somewhere. Somewhere.
Must be. But I did notice that across all the games, the actual sensitivity, the rate that I turn, changed. And I had to turn down the settings across all the games. I mean, depending on the game, I was playing between a 5 and a 7, and now I'm playing like between, you know, 3 and 5.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of the things that they address in the same sensitivity feel doesn't actually address what the community is talking about. I mean, the shot registration, I think that's one thing of feel, but I think what a lot of people have been talking about is how you actually aim, which isn't tied to network connectivity. It's tied to your client responding to your controller. And I think that hasn't been addressed.
You know, after I get the update installed, I'll check it. You know, I'll play it again and we'll see if anything has changed. But like I said, you know, when I first fired it up after the update, all of a sudden it felt like I was playing on 10 sensitivity. And, you know, I had to back it down because, you know, my shots were just all over the place. And it was my reticle that was all over the place, not where the shots were landing. The shots were landing exactly where I was pointing. The problem was I couldn't get my reticle on target, with the exception of Halo 2. It would be on target. I'd see their shields light up, but I couldn't kill them.
Yep, and there's a little comment about that coming up here in a minute. So I think there's definitely another issue that they're not addressing. I mean, the network latency, yeah, that makes sense. And they go into, like, the HDR and having latency with the TVs and stuff, but I think what most people are getting at is, like, not the feeling as in, like, the delay or the registration delay. I think it's just, oh, using the way that the controller feels and responds is different between the last build of NCT and the current one, like you were talking about. I don't think they've addressed that yet.
We'll see. Because, I mean, you know, even when I play campaign, I noticed the difference.
Do you have an HDR TV?
No.
And you're not doing 4K, you're doing 1080p?
Nope. 1080p, 60 FPS. On a plain old monitor.
You using an Xbox One X?
And I was using an Xbox One X before the patch as well. With my Elite controller. And I didn't change any settings.
I think there's something they're missing still.
Yeah, I mean, just the graphical updates could give you the better response time. And so that it feels faster. But, you know, I don't know. I just know I had to turn my sensitivity down to be able to actually shoot.
Yeah. It's a good thing the Twitch chat did not show up on the stream. Or is it on the stream?
It's on the stream.
I am refreshing that. Sorry, folks. That was not good. All right, that's cleared out. Apologies for that. So you will be happy to know that 343 has said they would ideally like to offer greater customization options for control settings. They have some prototypes and internal builds, and they're exploring finer level of calibration. So I'm hoping that means that you can fix the broken Halo 3 control looking scheme. Where it goes up and down quicker than it goes side to side. If they could fix that, I would be more than happy to play Halo 3. But Halo 3 just sucks. And that's a big reason why it sucks for me. If I could fix that part of the controller without having to go and modify the controller in the Xbox settings, I'd be fine. Because personally, I like the stock controller. I don't like playing with the Elite controller. So I'd have to go into the Xbox settings every time and change it every time I wanted to go play Halo 3, and I'm not going to do that. Especially if I'm going into a multi-playlist or multi-game playlist.
I love my Elite. Sorry, I like it.
Yeah, no, it's...
It's so much, you know, even though it's still the same size, it's still so much more comfortable for me.
I mean, that's all more power to you. I just find, for me, I like the resistance in the thumbsticks on the stock one better than the Elite.
Even though they're the same thumbsticks?
No, like the thumbsticks on the stock one don't glide as easily. Like, they're not as, the sticks are more stiff on the stock one than they are on the Elite. And with how I play, okay, I need that. You see what I'm saying?
Me personally, the sticks are too weak on any of the Xbox One's controllers compared to the 360s. I like.
Oh, geez, yeah. That's night and day between the 360 and the...
The Xbox One thumbsticks are mushy. You know, they don't take any effort to move. And that's one thing I liked about the 360s is, you know, you had to put a little thumb into it to get them to move. They didn't just flop everywhere. And even, you know, a custom controller that I had built, I had heavier thumbsticks put in it. Unfortunately, the company that I bought that from didn't use very high quality parts, and it's dead, but...
Of course.
I'm actually thinking about transferring the thumbsticks into one of my Elites.
How do you mean?
Literally unsoldering the thumbstick from the board, moving it into one of my Elites.
More power to you.
But I haven't quite got that brave yet.
Fair enough.
I'll need some electronics equipment before I do that, because I ain't going to do it with the soldering iron I used to do wiring with. I want one I can control the temperature of a little bit more precisely.
Makes sense. Okay, next up we have Team Hardcore Suicide Betrayal Penalties. So, basically the Team Hardcore playlist has been updated where you actually get penalties for suicides and betrayals. Kind of makes sense. Bloodshots in Halo 2 and Halo 3. So, there were times where you would actually get a bloodshot. So, like, you shoot someone and you have the little blood splatter. So, on the client side, it thinks that you actually hit the target, but on the server side, it says you missed because of the latency or whatever. So they're continuing to investigate it, but they're trying to basically reduce the number of times where you actually see the bloodshot when you actually missed.
Yeah, I was seeing that a lot.
Yeah, and you brought it up earlier, so it's one of those things like, this is probably what he was
experiencing. Yeah, when you expend an entire BR clip on an opponent, lighting his shields up, and he doesn't die, there's a problem.
Yep. So they're working to fix that. Next up, we have Elites not dual wielding, which I think a lot of people have heard about or at least know about. They had to apparently rebuild, they will have to rebuild large parts of the game. So that's going to be a big thing coming down the road. And then party and ranked matchmaking, apparently there's some issues where specific party group sizes are not being matched up with other similarly sized party group sizes. So they're looking to fix that issue as well. Nameplates. There's a whole bucket load of new nameplates. Some of them kind of filling in some other things that we've seen in Halo 5 and some other pretty cool ones. Going down the list, there is one that's replacing MVP that is called Fronk, which is the... is that the name of the whale painting on Longshore? I guess?
I think.
Maybe. HCS Silver is the one that has replaced HCS Pro, and then there is actually a proper HCS Pro that will be granted to players that have actually participated in the Halo Championship Series. There's a cartographer one, which will be manually granted to forgers. There's also going to be the 343 Fire and Ice. So similarly to the AR skins in Halo 5, there's going to be nameplates for Halo 5. There's a community MVP, which will be granted on a case-by-case basis. And then the MCC Insider Participant and Insider Plus will be assigned shortly. There's also another nameplate. There's two other nameplates that I've seen. There's a Guardians and a Banished nameplate, and I'm guessing those are probably for just being the campaign for Halo 5 and Halo 2, Halo Wars 2. So I'm guessing those are available to everybody. And the 343 Industries nameplate's been updated, and there's another nameplate that I saw Snickerdoodle with, which is just a Halo in the background. So I'm kind of curious into wondering what that one is.
So with just the Halo in the background?
Yeah, it's just a Halo in the background.
I think that's the one I use.
I'll have to.
I'm pulling it up.
Okay. And that's a colored one.
Because if you had. Oh, it's an actual colored one?
Yeah.
But it's not the one that I use then.
So I'm not sure. Unless Eric Yabu is in the chat.
Because I know if you have an original copy of Halo PC, it unlocks a certain. Used to unlock a special badge for you.
In MCC? How could they check that?
To unlock it, you had to actually type in the code.
I wonder where that is.
The key code.
Could I have my key codes?
Or was that in Reach? No, that was MCC. Yeah, I used the Halo 1 emblem. Never mind.
I don't know. I'll have to look into that. Maybe there's something I'm missing. Okay. Next up is some things coming up for MCC. So they're still looking at a customs game browser, updating the post-game cards report UI, UI updates, and more. And the public test realm will have more information in the coming weeks. A quick reminder on the Xbox Game Pass quests, that is up until September 30th. So basically by the end of next week, to have three quests done. And they are play 2 hours of Halo Master Chief Collection, complete 5 new achievements in MCC, and then increase your gamer score by 50 points. And that will be September 30th, which is a Sunday, but basically by the end of next week. And you have to be an Xbox Game Pass subscriber. And at this point, you can start your 14-day trial, and you'll have Xbox Game Pass by the time the end of the month rolls around. So if you're not Game Pass subscriber and you want a chance at the Halo Master Chief Collection console that they're giving away as part of it, then go ahead and do your trial. There is the new edition of the Scoop TM, which is done by Sean Cooper, and he goes into detail behind how it was to add the Blind Skull into Halo 1, which is now there in this latest update. There's some interesting checks that they had to do as far as the countdown timer on the Maw, help text and objectives, making sure that didn't get turned off when the Blind Skull was on, and a couple other things as well. Halo 4 Blind Skull apparently needed a little bit of a update as well. And then there is some other pesky bugs that they're still looking into as far as bullet reflection and rocket misbehavior.
Those misbehaving rockets.
You can check out more about the update over on the Halo Waypoint website, and there's also the trailer board as well. And there's also the multiplayer feedback, campaign feedback, and miscellaneous other feedback threads over on the Halo Waypoint forums. You can also reach out to them on their official Discord or via Twitter. There's lots of ways to get in contact with 343 and give them some feedback on what you're seeing and maybe some bugs that you might find. Time to jump into the latest community spotlight, which has a lot of stuff in it. This first thing, however, do you play RPGs or Dungeons and Dragons, or have you done that before, GT?
I've played D&D, but it's been 30 years. I'd play it with my cousins whenever I'd stay over with them. They were very proficient at it. I barely understood the concept of the game.
Well, maybe you might want to reach into something that could be similar. Maybe you'll understand it with the universe being applied, but apparently Vorked worked on creating a RPG-like Dungeons & Dragons-style tabletop game called Halo Mythic, which I'm kind of curious about.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, it's good. It's neat that they did that, but it's probably not something that I would be.
Fair enough.
I've never been that kind of game player. You know, I don't mind tabletop games, but the Dungeons and Dragons style of game, I've just never been interested in.
Fair enough. There is an official subreddit for this, though, and it has been in development for 5 years. There's actually a patron associated with this, too. So they are on beta version 2.5. Apparently, they're in the process of releasing a beta version 3. So there is a whole character sheet, rule book, everything. And I'm just going to read the little description that Vorked provided Grim. Mythic is an all-inclusive tabletop role-playing game set in the Halo universe. For those new to tabletop RPGs, think of Dungeons & Dragons, but much different. How do you think D&D, but then it's much different?
Yeah.
Mythic allows players to choose their race, faction, equipment, training, and so on. Nearly everything about your character can be customized. The GM, or Games Master, and players set up and play through missions and stories set within the Halo universe. Every weapon, vehicle, all equipment, armor, and even variants of each. They're all available to players from either the main handbook or the Oni content book that is available. I want to make sure players and game masters could do whatever they wanted. Mythic has been in development for 5 years now. Over time, adding everything new, introducing new equipment and possibilities, even making Prometheans playable. I do my best to make sure Halo Mythic can be the best it can be with my limited development time.
Yeah, it sounds just like D&D.
Pretty similar. You can check their subreddit out. They are reddit.com/r/Halo Mythic. And there you can find the link to the latest handbook and a couple other posts with people sharing their experiences. So I am going to definitely check this out. I'm not a big D&D player, but I have played a few times, and I'm currently working with or trying to get one going with some of our church friends. And hopefully we can get a campaign started soon. But it's kind of one of those cool things to do with close friends.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to do a campaign at the next PAX. if there would even be enough time. I know Toa Freak and Hidden Xperia and quite a few others people would be. I imagine Beowulf would be interested in that if he were to show up at PAX.
I would sit there and watch and drink heavily.
There you go. You can provide some entertainment. You could probably play as a couple of NPCs for like 10-20 minutes if that was of any interest.
Yeah, not really, but you have fun.
All right, fair enough. SFM continues to amaze the heck out of me, and there's one SFM render in this week's spotlight, and it is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
This one is done by Ezel VFX, and it is a Marine firing an AR, although he's not looking at the flood he's firing the AR at, but he's firing his AR nonetheless.
Yeah.
At a flood.
You might look at what you're shooting, buddy. Oh.
Running and gunning.
Make sure you're hitting it.
And it's a Halo 1 style Marine with a little green heads-up display square and the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful render. So great job.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good one.
There's quite a few drawings and other artwork that's been done. And this people just continue to amaze me. I don't even know if I could pick a favorite out of these. Words would fail to describe a lot of stuff. But I do kind of like the one with the Arbiter as a shark.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably my favorite, especially with the little caption underneath it.
Yeah.
Elites suck. And it's got a little like Halo Wars base Covenant base in the bottom of the fishbowl, and he's chasing the goldfish.
Which is a prophet.
Looks kind of like a prophet. Oh, he's got a prophet's crown on the goldfish.
It is a prophet.
I just noticed that.
Yeah. Makes sense. That one's cool. There's a drawing for Tar... I'm going to butcher this. Skarume? That's really well done. What else? Someone made an Oathsworn. 3D printed an Oathsworn. There's a couple of Halo Mega Bloks standstill or still shot takes.
Several pencil drawings.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff in here. I really need to get the stream configured to where I can share my screen.
Yeah. There's someone did colored pencil drawing of Noble Team. There's just a regular pencil drawing of Master Chief that's really well shaded.
The Halo 4 Master Chief? Yeah, I saw that one and I instantly retweeted it earlier. Pixel Flare continuing to do amazing work. Toa Freak, or Halo Cannon, now has a new intro. I need to catch up with him and get one done for us.
Yeah, I probably ought to get something done for me too, but...
Yeah. Then there is a Forge. There's one Forge call out, and it's someone that has remade Construct called Baron Riggs. Doesn't seem like it's quite as vertical just by the screenshots. I haven't actually downloaded the map and played it, but...
Oh, it looks pretty good.
Since this week is Halo 3 throwback, might be interesting to try for some customs. So it might be worth checking out. It definitely doesn't seem as vertical as Construct in Halo 3.
Well, Construct
by the screenshot. Screenshots.
Construct in Halo 3 doesn't look that vertical in pictures either, but it's a lot different when you're in it.
Maybe. I always thought the screenshot was pretty accurate, but that's just me. He has a lot of stuff on his file share. I'll have to check some more of it out later. Okay. I'm assuming this next section is something you want to touch on, since it has a certain video.
It's actually kind of funny. 3 days ago, I happened to come across this video on YouTube. And it's a video, it's actually, I can't even think of the name of the channel that had it put up.
Ridiculous Warcraft Rides?
Cars.
Sorry. Okay, yeah.
And he does a Ridiculous Rides feature. You know, he goes out and finds people that have reproduced movie cars or, in this case, a warthog. I just found it really funny that, like, 3 days ago, I watched this episode and it shows up on the spotlight. I just really thought it was odd.
So you want to share some of the details behind the video?
Basically, this gentleman spent about 5 years, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, a little more than 5 years.
Building his own warthog. And he has hand-fabricated the majority of this car, or majority of his truck. He started off with, a basic, 4x4 Chevrolet truck, in this case. He's hand-fabricated all the body panels, all the underlying roll cage and structure, all the body panels. He's made it actually legal to drive on the street in his state. Unfortunately, in my state, I couldn't drive the vehicle just because of legality issues. He even hand-fabricated the tusks on the front of the vehicle. You know, this isn't a super, high-end, high-budget deal like the one, 343 commissioned, the life-size Warthog. But it is a really good shot for just a, your average guy building one of these. This one is relatively attainable for most gearheads. Just would be a matter of, how much time it takes you to collect the pieces. But he did a really good job on this one. I liked it. I really recommend, if you're interested, to check out the video, because it's it's really good how he did it. And he's a real Halo fan. And to put this much time and effort into this thing is amazing.
And he built it by himself, right?
Yeah, it was just him. You know, it's like 5.5 years it took him to build this thing.
Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this the fifth Warthog we've seen in real life? The fifth kind?
I know there's
the two official ones.
Probably sounds right. So yeah, there's two official ones.
There's the one that Bungie commissioned. There's the one that 343 commissioned. There was the Pete Cooper one, this one, and I thought there was another one that was done for...
Well, is the Weta one an official one or not?
Was that not the Bungie one?
Forwarded? No. That's a different one.
Oh, yeah, okay. So maybe there's six.
At least I thought it was. Because they had the one they used in Forward Unto Dawn, which was different than the one that... I thought it was a different one than Bungie commissioned.
Kevin's saying it's the same one.
Okay.
So those two...
Maybe they just updated it to make it...
This better. One, the Pete Cooper one, I thought there was another one. I thought there was one other Warthog that was made. I'm going to check to see if there is. Anyways, the other videos that are on here, there's some montage ones, and then there's some Halo Spotlight stuff. The Myth one took an MCC from Reclaimer 117. That one's pretty cool. I think that's the one that kind of stands out to me the most. There's a funny one that got accidentally tagged by the Halo Spotlight tag, so Grim posted it. The one at the very bottom.
Yeah. It's still... Yeah.
I don't know. I still like how Grim put, hey, wait a sec. So that was funny.
Uh-huh. I have to admit, the montage that they put in here, the triple is the name of the montage. That's a good, it was a good montage. I liked it. I liked the way it was cut, although some of them were cut a little short, but it's a nice quick little video. It's 2 minutes of just action. And, you know, that's what I like to see in montages. I don't like to see a 15 minute long montage.
Yeah, I know we talked about this before. At some point. One of the episodes ago.
Oh, yeah, it's...
What else do we have? That's it for the Halo Waypoint news for this week.
Well, there is one other update. It says that they are making a change to what you're awarded if you get put into the Halo Spotlight. You will now get
It's the fire nameplate. The 343
fire nameplate. For MCC, not Halo 5.
It's still both. Yeah. So, not only will you be eligible for the Halo 5 skin, but you also get the nameplate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry I missed that part.
So,
yeah,
so
you'll get it for both.
Right. So, from now on, you'll get it. So, for those that have the Fire Unicorn skin in Halo 5 now, you have to get refeatured in order to get an MCC.
Which, for some of them, I don't think is going to be a problem.
No. Probably not. And if you ask nice enough, hey, they might still give it to you. A couple of tweet things to cover. Or actually, sorry, products things first. There is a listing on Amazon for the next Mega Construct signature set. And it is the UNSC Infinity. It is not available for sale yet, but there is a link to it. So I'll go ahead and post the link here for people to check it out. You can sign yourself up to get an email alert for those that want to pay the probably $250 to buy it.
And the 17 hours to put it together.
It's probably going to be more than 17 hours. I haven't even built the Ford Under Dawn that we have yet. And I'm assuming that's going to be a full 24-hour build. The Mammoth that Greenskull built, when he did it, I think he said it took him almost 24 hours to do that one. And the Ford Under Dawn has more pieces than
this
that.
This one doesn't look that complicated, though.
It doesn't. I don't know. The description doesn't say how many pieces it has. Unless, Kevin, how many pieces it's going to be.
I mean, it's looks relatively flat. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of internal structure pieces that we can't see, but it is extremely complicated. I mean, Ford and Adon looks more complicated than this one.
A little bit, yeah. This one does have an interior, though, so the inside complexities... Oh, there you go. 2,456 pieces, which is about the same as Ford Unto Dawn. It's pretty close.
Yeah, I guess there's more there than I think. 31 inches long.
Yeah.
Better clear off some shelf space, boys and girls.
I got to build some shelves or something. Whenever I'll have the Scarab to build. I have the Ford Unto Dawn to build. I have the Mammoth to build.
No, I just think you need to come up with like a 1,600 square foot warehouse like someone you recently interviewed.
Tom and Mandy are on a whole nother level than I am.
They're on a whole nother planet than I am when it comes to Halo collectibles.
Yeah. I did actually put up one shelf, and it's behind the projector screen that we have, and it's more of a showcase of kind of all my nerd stuff. So there's Pokemon up there, there's Halo, there's Fallout. I have one of the Doctor Who sonic screwdrivers. I have the Mind Turtle. I have a cross. I have a squirrel because I love squirrels. What else is up there? I think that's it. Oh, there's a...
I think we'll just have to agree to disagree on the squirrel thing.
Why?
Apparently you haven't had a squirrel inside your house yet.
No, actually, growing up, we actually had a squirrel run into our house. We had to chase it out. Thankfully, it wasn't difficult for the one squirrel, but... No, sure. I've had to once.
Yeah, wait till they start living in your attic.
Oh, well, that's a different story. So, we have the Unicy Infinity Mega Constructs. I forgot to add this one to the list, but I did buy it. And I might have it in a box that I brought down. I haven't opened yet. But there is a new Halo Unicy AR Boomco Blaster. So they released the ODST themed pistol, Magnum, a few months ago. And now there is a AR version of that one. It is a whopping $49.99. You can buy it right now if you feel so inclined. I'm adding more weapons that's going to go on my armory wall whenever I get around to building that. So it is all pretty orange and yellow with flames and the ODST symbol on it. So go and have some fun with that. Another custom Xbox One X that's going to be auctioned off, which is like, why are you coming up with all these Xboxes, but they're not available to purchase? Microsoft. But this one's for a good cause. It is to help support the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and it is a really beautiful, I want to say kind of Halo 1-themed Xbox One X.
That yeah, I'd is say a, more of a kind of a Forerunner-themed Xbox.
Yeah. So it's autographed on the bottom as well. The video has Bonnie Ross presenting it. It's signed by Bonnie, Grimm, Frankie, James Monosmith, trying to see if I recognize any other names here. Sketch. I'll recognize some of the other names on here. Or the other signatures. But the current bid is at $3,000. And there's still another about 13 days left to bid on it. So the bidding ends October 3rd at 3:36 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And it includes all the standard Xbox One X stuff, and there's no certificate of authenticity. Items are sold as is, so you get one wireless controller, HDMI cable, power cable, 14-day live trial, and 1 month Xbox Game Pass subscription trial. There's also some other Xboxes that they're auctioning off as part of this bigger auction sale that they have going on. So there's a Fallout one, there's a Minecraft one, Rocket League, Smosh, and a few other ones as well that Xbox is putting out there. So I put a link in the chats for those that are watching the live stream now, and I'll try to remember to put a link in the post whenever it goes. But if you're one of those people with quite a bit of money, and Tom and Mandy, if you're listening, good luck. Kevin, good luck if you're bidding on it. And
It's well out of my budget.
Yeah, well out of my budget at this point. Heck, that's more than the full paycheck for me.
That's more than several paychecks for me.
So, yeah, for those that are inclined and have the money to do so, have at it. It's a beautiful skin that they've made for it. I wish they would sell some kind of Xbox One X Halo console, because I would buy it.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to happen.
But it's not a skin, but it's the design of it.
Themed.
Yes. That thing. Well, Misa, there's the speculation right now that the next Halo game is going to be on whatever is coming after the X. So there's that. Anyways, moving on. Next thing we have. That's it for the product stuff. There's some tweets. So there is a new commendation out for Halo 5 called Target Master. And this one is based off of wins, strangely enough. And they kind of introduced this as, take a shot, going back into the Halo 3 playlist, or the Halo 3 throwback playlist this weekend. And it is, if you get, I think, you get 5 different skins on how you progress. I don't know if there's a time limit on it or not. But after 650 wins, you get the last skin, which is like a gold Magnum. I'm trying to see if I can find a picture of it. I saw someone post it earlier. I can't remember if it was on the Halo Discord or... Oh, here it is. Thank you, Haas. This was posted in the forums. Going to copy that. Posted in the chat. So it is getting 75 wins, gets you a first one, which has a little gold, and all of them have kind of a red type of thing on the front. So 75 wins has a little accent gold. 175 wins is just all silver with a hexagonal grip. 300 wins is all black with the red on the front. 450 wins is kind of a bronze style. And then 650 is full gold. So think the Desert Eagle of Halo, essentially, which is pretty cool. 650 wins for Halo 5. And that counts across Social, Arena, and Warzone. Next up is just kind of a couple of reminders. The Xbox Game Pass Quest, which we kind of touched on earlier, and the Spirit Halloween giveaway. Should probably check to see if that's still going on. It was last week when we talked about it. Should probably check to see if it's there for this week. And, yep, still looks like it's there. I don't know when they're going to end that thing, but if you head on over to spirithalloween.com/sweeps, you can enter in to get to win $10,000. And while you're there, you'll be able to receive a 20% off single item coupon to use at Spirit Halloween. Nothing big happening in the community this week, or at least nothing that I was able to pull before the show, because I was madly typing up all the things from Halo Waypoint that got posted today. Reminder for the Forge Hubs 4v4 Forge Contest, which submissions are due on September 30th. Arby and the Chief is being continuously uploaded to YouTube. He might be close to having posted all of them already. The latest Halo loot crate, we still haven't heard anything about it. I don't know if we're going to hear anything else, unless Kevin, you know anything that you can share. But yeah, so maybe we'll hear something soon-ish. Oh, here we go. Nope, I got it. Next theme is Scout. This one is, we're honoring the tireless diligence and ever-vigilant eye of June, Noble Team's expert sniper and scout, with an exclusive icons figure and more.
Ooh, fun.
So June is next, and the theme is Scout. So you can head on over to lootcrate.com/podtacular or podtacular.com/lootcrate. Either one will take you to the Loot Crate website to get the Halo Crate. And then if you use Podtacular code at checkout, you'll get $3 off of your crate. You have until 9 p.m. Pacific time, or that's midnight Eastern time, on October 15th to order. There's also a 10% off code currently site-wide called Surprise10. You can also use that code at checkout. And as long as you use the lootcrate.com/podtacular or podtacular.com/lootcrate links, then you'll be able to help the show out a little bit. And last but not least, we have the Halo Hub. Quick shout out to them. I'm over there doing the technical guru behind Virgil and everything. There's a couple of things that are coming up with the hub that we're looking to integrate more of the community stuff into. So if you want to head on over to thehalohub.com, there's some more stuff that will be coming in the near future. Halo Hub, again, is just a place to share community content for people to either share their own content or other people's content that they have found and think is really cool, including machinima, artwork, forge work, cosplay, videos, any of that kind of stuff. You can check us out on all of our social media sites. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also find us on Mixer and Twitch for streaming, as well as we're streaming on Facebook and YouTube, hopefully soon on Twitter. You can also check out our Spartan Company and our Xbox Club. Just search Podtacular wherever you go, or do podtacular.com/whatever it is. So podtacular.com/company, for example, will take you to our Spartan Company, and it'll take you right there. Make sure you check out our podcast network. We're part of a network of gaming-specific shows, including Guardian Radio, Critcast, Podcast 76, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find out more about this podcast over at thepodcast.com or podka.st for short. Well, GT, I think we've had a pretty big slew of MCC news come out, and I don't know about you, but my voice is getting tired.
I'm beat. I'm ready to go to bed.
Yeah. Any last things to catch up on before we call it a night?
No, just be sure to drop by tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time for our Fraggin' Fridays. You can catch us on Twitch and Mixer. And if you'd like to join in, just shoot me a message on Xbox Live at Godzilla T, and I'll see you then.
Very nice. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in on the live stream. We had quite a few people turn out tonight, which we really appreciate. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for all the hosts and all the people checking us out on YouTube, Mixer, and Twitch. We got a couple of likes over on Facebook. I don't know if we had people that stayed over and watched or listened for a while. For those that listen to us via download, whether it's through iTunes or Google Podcast or wherever, thank you for your support. We appreciate every single one of you that support the show, whether it's listening or reaching out to us on social media. And we hope to catch you on one of our future streams and hopefully in a couple of play nights. So have a good evening, everybody. For those that are watching and wherever you are out there, be safe and keep on fragging them trucks.